The footy is on Triple M. The weekend is here.
I like it.
And so is Triple M footy.
And doesn't he love it?
I just want to say I've got a pretty good feeling about this.
This is the Friday Huddle.
For Reed, hot water and Macca's 50th birthday,
Triple M rocks footy.
It was a dream partnership that immediately bore fruit.
There it is! The Hawks are premiers for 2008!
And it only got better.
The Hawks are premiers for 2013!
And better.
The Hawks have won the 2014 AFL Grand Final.
And better.
The Hawks have won three premierships in a row!
But all good things must come to an end.
When Alistair's contract expires at the end of 22, we will not be reappointing him.
July 6.
We as a board are very, very confident that Sam can be Alistair's successor.
He had to come back for a second and go, get my out.
July 9.
Yeah, I don't know how many times you're going to ask the question in a different sort of way or anything else, but I'm contracted for next year and I'm staying here.
Last Friday.
We understood, of course, that there was going to be speculation. You know, will Clarkson move? What does it mean? I laugh at it in one way because if they're saying that, they don't really know me well, and that's what I'm trying to portray today. I'll see through my commitment. I've always been that way.
And then, today.
Clarkson will leave at the end of the season. The handover, as we know it, has been cancelled. Alistair Clarkson won't be the Hawthorn coach next year, contrary to the succession plan that they'd announced.
Extraordinary day in football, extraordinary day for the Hawthorn Football Club. G'day, wherever you're listening, welcome along around Victoria, around Australia, around the world. St Kilda versus Carlton is the game on the wireless tonight. You are listening to the Friday Huddle on the M's. We'll get to the usual stuff, the top five, beat the chief. Brett Ratton will join us, the coach of St Kilda and cult hero of the week, Val Perovic. Normally we like to be a little bit light-hearted off the top, but tonight we'll be talking football and the Hawks and then loosen up a little bit as the show goes on. Nathan Brown is here, Jason Dunstall is here, Daisy Thomas is here, and Damien Barrett is here. Damo, an extraordinary, extraordinary day in football.
It was, Howie, and it's the capping of an extraordinary 3.5 weeks from the moment that Jeff Kennett called a few media out there to outline the succession plan. Sam Mitchell to take over in 2023 after Alistair Clarkson was to see out at that stage the 18th year of his time at Hawthorn as coach, and the narrative that was presented to the public that day, the narrative that both Mitchell and Clarkson have presented regularly since. Last Friday, Alistair Clarkson bringing in personal tragedy into the scenario to say that I will honour my contract, I will be at Hawthorn, this is the person I am. And then you get to today and it's all over. It's all over. He will coach out the remainder of the year, but he will not be going into 2022. And it's been a mess from the outset, Howie.
I think you've got some audio from the press conference today. We might have a listen to that now, Damo, and then open up the discussion. We've got Daisy and we've got the big chief who appointed Alistair in the first place alongside the selection committee. But this is the coach of Hawthorn today.
I'm going to step aside from coaching the Hawthorn Footy Club at the end of this year. We've come to the realisation that this footy club needed some fresh air from 2022 onwards. Our club hasn't performed anywhere near to the level that we would have liked for a whole heap of reasons, and I'm a key contributor to that, of course. And it's my view that the footy club needs to free itself from my shadow, in a sense. No, I don't think I will. I want to take a breath and see what the next chapter is for me. And as I said, that might not even be in football.
We hope that as a result of the goodwill that's been shown by all parties, we now have clear air. And I say that in particular for the players who have, for the last 2 or 3 weeks, been confused, which is understandable. And we recognise that while we are a family club, and this hasn't been the most traditional way of a family to behave, it does happen from time to time. But the beauty about this club is it has the capacity, as Clarko said, to continually confound those who make comments about them. No, I don't think we've misled the members. We've done what we thought was the best thing. We thought it would work. As it's turned out, it's caused a lot of confusion. No one's perfect. I accept responsibility for that. We adjust.
So that was Alistair Clarke and Sam Mitchell together today, and then they stepped aside and the Hawthorn president, Jeff Kennett, came in. I'm a sucker, Damo. I see there's smiles and there's pats on the back and there's laughter and general, this is all good, and I believe it. Should I believe it?
No, you shouldn't.
And okay.
No, but that's okay, and that's okay. I think we have to take people at their word whenever they want to present. You do that. But you can't possibly take everything at their word because of what we listened and spoke about this time last Friday.
What's changed in a week, Damo, then?
I don't think a lot has changed, Brownie. I just think the club has come to the realisation it wasn't going to work. And to some point, I want to bring Chief in, and I know it's hard for you to talk about this, Chief, because I think you know a whole lot more than you're going to tell. And I don't mean that to be anything other than it is. You're loyal to your contacts and you're loyal to your club. But this is the decision, Brownie, to get back to the question you just asked, that really should have been made on the day of announcement. You can't have someone like Alistair Clarkson with Sam Mitchell, the way it had been set up and the way that Alistair got the answer that he didn't want to get. And don't underestimate him also, too, cleverly behind the scenes, manoeuvring for the 3.5 weeks to get it to a point where the call has been made that he's not going to be there. He will get a payout. It's a reduced payout because he's taken a pay cut, but he will get a payout. And again, Howie, just before we go to Chief, when he says, I may not contemplate offers for next year, you can't believe it when he says that, because if we're to believe that, what do we believe him last Friday when we all took him at his word that he was going to be there? So Chief, what are you able to tell us about what you know to be this situation? And even if it's just your opinion on what has happened in the past 3.5 weeks.
I can tell you it's been an ordinary day, Damo, from the moment I got woken up by messages coming through on the phone this morning.
Oh, no, before 12.
Correct.
Oh, gee.
Was not happy.
What time were these coming through?
They were coming through about 9.
Oh, gee, whiz, gee.
That's crack of dawn stuff. So that got me off on the wrong foot this morning, let me tell you. Bottom line is, I think it's been really poorly handled. I think the way it's played out over the last few weeks, so it doesn't reflect well on anyone.
Yep.
I think it's become a bit of embarrassment, the way that they've handled it all the way through. So for me, I think if you go back 3 weeks, probably everyone knew what the best outcome was.
Is that the one they've arrived at today?
Yes.
Yep.
And I suspect it was probably the impact on the soft cap in terms of a payout that fashioned, if you read between the lines, that probably fashioned the idea of let's have a handover, because you become severely impacted if you pay out and all of a sudden next year's soft cap's got a big chunk missing before you start. So that makes life tough. But we've also seen over the years that handovers, they've never been smooth. They've never really worked. Yeah, clubs get through them, but I don't understand the point of doing it. It's a bit like, if you're going to rip the Band-Aid off, mate, rip it off. Yeah. Don't take it off tiny bit by tiny bit by tiny bit.
So, Chief, as a Hawthorn man, as a legend of the club, as a man that's been involved in appointing Alistair, what's your overriding emotion as a brown and gold man today?
A couple of weeks ago, I would have said shock, but now we've kind of had time to process it a little bit. I think just disappointment the way that the club's handled it is probably the biggest emotion for me. You'd like to have seen great respect handed out for a great coach. Everyone shake hands, walk away. New coach come in, fresh start, do your best.
Has there been a lack of respect to Alistair Clarkson?
I don't think it's a lack of respect. I think the communication's been poor, and I think everyone just danced around the topic.
Chief, I've got a view now that Jeff Kennett now has to follow Alistair Clarkson out of the club. He was there between 2006 and 11, came back and pushed Richard Garvey off the board at the end of 2017 because he said the club was in a messy state and needed to be fixed up. But it hasn't become any cleaner in his time there. And now he's overseen, I won't say personally, but he's driven this succession plan, which today has blown up in the club's face, in his face. It's made Alistair Clarkson, the four-time premiership coach, have his time at the club brought forward by a year. I would argue, Chief, that he has to go as well, and I think he owes it to the club to do so. Do you subscribe to that view?
I wouldn't cast opinions on other people that are still at the club. Everyone has to live with this decision. So when you work at a footy club, Damo, you make decisions in the best interest of the club, to the best of your ability, to the best of your knowledge. That's all you can do. And then you have to sit and hope that those decisions bear fruits. Now, only time's going to tell whether Mitch is going to be a great coach for the club. He may well be, and I hope he is. I bloody well hope he is. But, you know, you've got to be very careful the way you make these things happen. And I just think they've been a little disappointing in the way that it's all played out. Too many people saying different things.
Are you referring to Jeff there without using
No, 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 no. I just think too many things have come out of the club, and I'm not pointing the finger at anyone because you never know. You actually never know. one side's not 100% right and the other side's not 100% wrong. So somewhere in the middle is the absolute truth, if that makes sense. And it just it's just played out in poor fashion.
So the way it's played out today, Damien, whose decision was it? From your understanding, or is that not a fair question? Look, was it the club's decision? Was it Alistair's decision?
I feel, Howie, Alistair has been, once he got the answer he didn't want, that is that your time is up at the end of 2022, which is what you were contracted to do, that his mind, he was out. Now, we saw him answer that question that way on the Tuesday when they announced it 3 weeks ago, that it was quite ambiguous how he answered it that. Then he sharpened himself up 3 or 4 days later just for the cameras they were on. The cameras were on again last week and he didn't take too many questions last week. He presented a monologue for 13 minutes. Certainly something happening this week where he just thought, that's it. Now, that's just my take on it.
Right.
But I feel he'd been angling toward the club or pushing the club down a path that had them making this call official sooner rather than later.
Did they need to make the decision so early? So 3 weeks ago it was made. That's when the rumours were circling that Mitchell to the Pies potentially. Did they need to make it then and there, or should they have taken a breath, given it a week, come up, consulted both of them? They've now spoken. We're big boys. We're in the industry. Do you think that's the part that's been the messiest?
Well, that was where it all started, wasn't it? So they obviously had in the back of their mind that Sam Mitchell would be the next coach, and that's okay. But then they had their hand forced when Collingwood showed interest in Mitch. Now, I don't know why you don't let that play out. I honestly don't. I've got no problem with someone going to another club if he gets the job, if he's good enough to get the job and cut your teeth and do whatever. But I think it was a matter of, we don't want to lose him, because whilst we've got a coach who could be here for a little while longer, he's not going to be the long-term coach given how long he's been here. So they probably saw Sam Mitchell as the next long-term coach. But I probably wouldn't have pulled the trigger that early. I don't think it needed to be, but I'd rather have let Mitch go through the process and see whether he actually gets the Collingwood job and take it from there. And you know what? If he does get the job and he's going well, get him back in a few years' time when his contract comes out.
Just realistically, though, they were never going to make the Pies, that being, we're never going to make a decision in that three-week period since been.
Yeah. And it was only an approach to Sam Mitchell. It wasn't as if he was down the path in being offered the job. It was, are you going to be interested in it? And to answer that question, he would have had to have said yes, and he felt the need then to tell Hawthorn, which has basically brought along everything that's happened since. And just, Brownie, just one more thing before you throw in. The fact that both Clarkson and Mitchell, on the day of announcement of decision, admitted, and they both did it separately within 5 minutes of each other, that they had only spoken for 20 minutes about the future. It just proved then at the time that it was rushed and hastily put together, and that has played out every single day since.
It doesn't make any sense, Damo. From a pure football follow-up, you sit there and you look at Alistair Clarkson, who's a four-time premiership coach and probably the best coach of the last 30 years. So as a supporter or a player from another club, I would have loved a coach like that. So that part I don't understand. But somebody has to make that decision. Somebody has to sit there and go, Alistair Clarkson can't take this group forward. We don't think he's got the tools to anymore. We think Sam Mitchell does. So somebody's got to have to make that decision. Well, is it Jeff, or is it a football person like a Richie Vandenberg?
No, I believe it was Jeff Kennett, and the board obviously made that decision. Richard Vandenberg is a director on the board, and the club told us on that day that it was a unanimous decision. Now, again, we believe them until we know otherwise on that. But that was the timeline of events when it came to that part of it.
And the past couple of days, the players going to senior figures at the club and saying, we're not happy with how this is. That a bit of a cover-up, in your opinion? Does that happen?
I haven't got a good grasp on that part of it, Daisy. The senior players, and they're obvious. I mean, McAvoy is one of the senior players. He was appointed captain. He's got an allegiance to Clarkson. I don't have a full grasp on what others have been reporting on that aspect of it, and as such, I'd be remiss here to go too deeply into that side of it.
Howie, you're a Hawthorn supporter, obviously. Chief's a Hawthorn player. He's worked at the club. Damo works in media. Amin Daisy, a former player. As a supporter, a pure Hawthorn supporter, what is the feeling like out there for Hawthorn supporters at the moment?
Well, I can only speak for myself. So you asked me to put a scarf on as a bloke sitting in the crowd cheering on the Hawks. I find it amazing that the best coach of the last 50 years will no longer be coaching the football club. And I also find it an unenviable position for Sam to have to step into, because
it's tough for him now.
Well, he's starting a new job from 15 metres behind the pack, because as soon as he has a loss, oh, gee, if Clarko was here, that wouldn't be happening. Every decision. So I really feel for Sam. But yeah, it's hard to fathom that Alistair won't be coaching the football club, and hopefully he continues on. I did note today, Chief, he said he wasn't sure if he was going to continue in football or other areas, but, you know, I think everyone in the game would love to see him coach again at another club now.
Absolutely. And I don't think having 12 months off would hurt him either if he wanted to do that. Just, you know, spend a bit of family time, do whatever he feels like doing, and then look at what options may appear at the end of next season. There mightn't be any around. There might be a handful of them. Who knows? So, I don't think he's going to struggle for work.
And there's two clubs right now, certainly one, Howie, with an official vacancy in that position, and another one that is at the back end of a very detailed, thorough review playing tonight, that being Carlton.
I tell you what, if you woke up a bit grumpy this morning, Chief, reading all their headlines and whatnot, I'm not sure David Teague would have been too happy to have seen the papers and all the headlines and the breaking news as well, as a man who's sort of heads on the block at the minute.
We might take a break here because we've done 18 minutes of very serious, earnest football discussion, and that's as much as we need in the show.
So minutes more than the past 4 weeks.
Damo's been so excited today.
Yes, he's got his time in the spotlight.
Now you can stream every AFL match live with Triple M Footy.
People all around us getting excited.
Just download the Listener app and select Triple M.
Well, Marvel Stadium's your venue tonight. The roof is closed, still no crowd. If you're in a lockdown situation, hopefully you're getting through it okay. If McDonald's, Marine Hot Water, Triple M Rocks Footy, Mark Howard, Nath Brown, Jason Dunstall, Daisy Thomas and Damien Barrett. We've done the serious stuff. Jump on at Triple M Footy on Instagram and have a look at the photo that is currently on there. Nath, this is your area. You've come up with a photo, you're bringing it to the table, and I'm not prepared to go
area,
with it.
So
this is now your segment.
This is my photo.
Off you go, guru.
Well, there was a photo just surfaced of Chief on an end-of-season trip in 97-98.
Describe it.
The first mistake he's made, because he was already a large man towards the end of his career, and he was balding as well. But first of all, there's one mistake, and it's not the fact that he's dyed his hair blonde either. The first mistake is lying by the pool next to probably one of the best-looking men we've seen in the last 50 years in Ben Dixon, who's got a ripping body, who's got these big six-packs, and then you got the Chief sitting there next to him.
Dicko.
I had a six-pack.
It was hidden under the keg. Yes, it was, Chief. And why did you dye your hair blonde, Chief? I don't know what you look like, but you don't look well.
One of those. You look like Elton John, to be honest, Chief. That's what I'm going with.
That's not bad. He's a superstar.
He is. You look like Elton John.
It's one of those ideas that you think's good at the time.
You would have thought you looked like a superstar.
No, not at all. But it was my last footy trip, and I thought, I'll do something just to fire the boys up.
Right.
Turned up at the airport wearing a cap. You start getting a couple of funny looks. And then I just ripped off the cap and they all just roared. Perfect start to a footy trip. Got less funny day by day, though.
Where did you get it done, Chief? Did you just go down to the Glen for a hairdresser or what did you do?
I can't even remember. Some hairdresser would have just run a bit of a through it. And
where was this footy trip?
I think that was Hawaii. Best guess.
You happy with the rig, Chief, when you look back on that photo?
I'm happy now.
Talking about photos, jump on Triple M Footy again because I've just been sent by our producer. It's a front cover for something called Matrix, number one in American salons, available only in hair salons. And it's our man Nate doing a full Brad Pitt like he's off to play cricket. So what is that about?
Oh, my God. Which end are you bowling from?
What's that, Nate?
That was back in 06, Howard. That was the Tiger Days. Matrix were on our shorts. And we did a photo shoot down at Brighton. And we all had jeans and the outfits that we had on there. I think there was me, Bretty Deledio, Andrew Rains, Mark Vivi Coughlin. And we're all down there doing a photo shoot. So it's just what you do for a football club.
I bet none of them look like that.
What do you mean?
Describe it, Chief.
I think you're about to go out and play croquet. Looking at that kit right there.
I look a hell of a lot better than you doing away.
I think it's marginal.
I would have been running away from you.
But is your hair red in that?
No, it's not.
It looks orangey, doesn't it?
Mm. Is that precisely the time you requested WADA exemption to use the finasteride, which is a banned?
The finasteride was about drug? 4 years before that. That was 2003, Damo. So you've got to get your years right. So you needed finasteride to be able to play football at the level you needed to because you needed confidence. And if there was no hair on top, you didn't have the confidence. And that's what went in the letter. Dr. Greg Hickey wrote the letter and sent it into the WADA people. And they come back and said, yep, no, you've got an exemption to use finasteride. And I haven't looked back. It's been as thick as
I'm going to try
since.
And find this letter. I need to know.
We need it.
I reckon Dr. Harry Unglick might have it. So I'd say. start there.
We need a copy of it, Damo.
All right.
Oh, do we leave it with me?
Yes, I think we do.
The Olympics have been absolutely outstanding. I know we've been watching a World Under 7 who have been doing a magnificent job. Our man Das, front and centre, has been outstanding. I
haven't seen him.
And I'm just sort of having a bit of a think myself, Nathan, around those in the group here about what they'd potentially be good at the Olympics. Yeah, well, so I'll start this conversation and then you boys can follow on. But I look at Damo.
Oh, here we go.
And I'm seeing ping pong. that's where I'm seeing him coming into the Olympics.
Why are you saying that?
I don't know. You just, your athletic build to me seems suited to the ping pong.
You don't see the doing the 10,000 or the 5,000 on the track?
No,
you're just
don't.
A very average sort of human, Damien, aren't you? Average height. That's what we need at the Olympics, all right?
Taller than you.
We see the BMX, we see the 100 metres backstroke, we see the fencing, and you sit there and you start after 2 weeks or a week, go, you know what? This is the question we're having at the moment.
Yes.
Would I be good at that?
That's right.
I reckon I could, because a lot of these guys are amateurs, so there's professionals, but there's also amateurs in
there. What do you think you'd be good at?
We need just an average bloke for reference. Imagine every sport you see, they just put one random average
not
bloke
a bad idea.
Like Damo in there, just to see how far behind he'd be in a BMX.
But we had that.
Or in the 100-metre backstroke.
We already had that.
Who's that?
Eric the Eel.
True.
Yep. Yes.
True.
But
true.
It worked for one race, and then the novelty wears off that.
Correct.
Yeah. I'm seeing the Chief on the Greco-Roman wrestling mat.
Don't they do sumo?
No, they
every time right. Howie speaks tonight, he laughs at his own gags.
He can't make eye contact with you.
And I'm seeing you with those calves. Yeah. I think you're an expert in the BMX.
The BMX.
I don't think he could be beaten. You've been watching BMX, the BMX, coach. Chief.
I have. It's been fun, but the seat's too high for me. Those little stumps probably wouldn't get it done, I don't think. They've been having massive stacks.
What's Daisy doing?
I know he's surfing, but he's not passing the drug test. I don't think.
I've also had the hair
he's
treatment.
He's an accuser.
Yes, I think he might be going the same way as Al Bate in the equestrian that didn't get on the plane, to be honest, from Australia.
Well, I know what you're doing, Harry. I suspect you'd be lining up in the javelin.
go with it, Chief.
No, I just thought that'd be a good sport for you.
Am I throwing the javelin?
Or you might be being thrown.
It's been good, though. It's been good.
The Aussies are doing very well.
They are. What moment... For me, Jess Fox is the moment that got me. If I was going to get teary in front of everything, that was the one that got me, Chiefy.
It was big. You know, there's so many great performances. Like, how good is the name Zach Stubbledycook?
Yes.
That is, and he came over the top of him, which was a brilliant swim. I still reckon Chalmers swim in the 100 final.
Yeah, how good.
Even though he came second.
Yeah.
I mean, how little competition he's done. He was able to bring us in the relay from sixth through to the bronze medal position.
Yeah.
And then he gave him a start and just got touched out. One more stroke, he wins.
Yeah.
It was enormous. He is an enormous performer on the big stage.
Who was the young girl who lost her boxing bout? Sky?
Sky something.
That was heartbreaking. Yeah. Watching that interview, you see how much it means to her. So it's every 4 years. Obviously, she can go and fight in a couple of months in a world championship, but the Olympics is every 4 years. And she put everything into it, and she felt like she'd let everybody down. She felt like she had the weight of the world on her shoulders. And you couldn't help but sort of almost tear up when you watch that, just thinking how hard she was being on herself.
You wanted to tell her it was okay, didn't you?
Yeah.
When you were watching it.
You want to give her a cuddle,
Not as serious as you're thinking it is right now.
Yeah.
And what about covering? I had a thought about this. I was thinking, Chief, what I would like to commentate if I was going to get a gig on the Olympics, which it's way beyond. What about you? You're a commentating guru. Which is your sport that you think you could bring a bit to?
I think the short course stuff would be good for me, Howard. The 100 metres, the swimming, the 50 metre swimming, or the 100 metre dash would be good.
I think you're going swimming and athletic, Bruce style.
Yeah, pretty much both of them. So if you
just went to the two blue riband events and said, I'm the best caller ever.
Right.
Yeah, it's too much padding for the marathon or the 1,500 metres swim. So I think short, sharp, get to the job done.
What about you, Chief?
What have I enjoyed? I've watched a hell of a lot.
Yes, no doubt.
Hell of a lot.
You would probably watch more than any man in Australia.
I tell you what I also like. I'd love to work on the rowing.
Oh, the rowing?
Oh, some of those races are epic. Epic. You've just got the tip of the boat in front. On the line with, and Aussies have been very, traditionally, we've always been a strong rowing country.
You only hear the term half a canvas once every 4 years.
Half a
for
canvas.
Mine, I want to try and do a Darryl Eastlake at the weightlifting. I like watching the way, especially when the big boys come out from Ukraine and start slapping their hands, they get it on the shoulder, brand, up she goes, and the bar starts to bend.
Darryl Eastlake.
Bring a bit to that.
Is that an official trial?
Yeah, I think that was.
For anyone
if
listening?
That was, I'm probably getting a gig.
I had you all round up to be doing just the walking, just bang for buck, and just hearing your voice over and over for 4 hours straight.
Triple M rocks footy.
That was class. time for...
He's a self-proclaimed footy superstar.
I reckon I was probably the most influential player in the AFL.
He fears nothing and no one.
This is all off-air stuff that you're not allowed to talk about on air, but I've gone with it anyway. Yeah.
And he sees the world a little differently.
Just watching a Komodo dragon eat a monkey.
This is Nathan Brown's Top 5.
Yeah, you're a rare unit, Noodles. What do you got?
Sure is, Howard. It's a bit of a different Top 5 because we've been watching the Olympics and I was fascinated with Kaylee McEwen when she got out and she dropped the magic on the side of the pool. But I thought that would endear her to a certain genre of sponsors and money. And I started to think about, you know, the most bankable players in the AFL. So I'm going to give you the most five bankable players in my point of view in the AFL, so I'm just going to roll through them and then give you the reasons.
Bankable in what term?
Bankable for sponsors.
Right.
So the players that probably should earn the most money outside of AFL, and then I'm going to give you some where maybe the sponsors have got it wrong over the past few years and the bank probably didn't really talk the way it should have to the player or the media star who did these ads.
Chief, I get nervous when it takes this long to set up.
So,
and he's obsessed with money, isn't
yes,
he?
Yes.
Who earns what, area, how they earn it.
So this is the top five, and I'm going to run through them pretty quickly. Most bankable players. At number five, I've got Bailey Smith from the Bulldogs.
I get that. Yep.
Number four, I've got Max Gawn. I'm going to give you all these reasons in a minute.
I like it.
Number three, Lance Franklin. Number two, Nick Nat. And number one is Dusty.
Dustin Martin.
So okay. Ralph Carr, I think, is the number one player manager when it comes. He doesn't have a lot of players, but what he does do, when Dusty, I don't even need to get him some sponsorships. He's already got them in Kennedy watches. He's got Voost. He's got Bonds. He is well and truly the highest money earner outside of his AFL playing contract at the moment.
Okay.
So then I've got Nick Nat at number two. Now, I was fortunate enough to meet Thomas Muster many years ago up in Noosa, and I found out from Thomas Muster, the great Austrian back then, Chief, that he did a deal with the Bank of Austria. He was their only big-name player at that stage, so he was getting 1% from every bank loan from the Thomas Muster Academy or something like that that he put forward. So every bank loan, 1% went to Thomas Muster, which was massive. It was millions
massive.
Of dollars. So I'm thinking, with his heritage, Nick Nat, being Fijian, the Bank of Fiji, 1%, you put a loan together, and then he gets the money, then he puts that into building resources for the youth back in Fiji. Everybody's a winner, Howard. Do you like it?
Not sure the Bank of Fiji is as big as the Bank of Austria.
I like where you're going, though.
I like where you're going. Now, Buddy, I think Buddy's gone past.
Can I just, before you go any further, is this a serious one or a funny one?
It's going to get funny at the end.
When you have to ask that question, that's also concerning. I just wanted to know.
So, Buddy, if I was managing Buddy, I'd be looking at Balenciaga, I'd be looking at Armani, and I'd be looking at Louis Vuitton. He's
top
gone
shelf.
Past. He's top shelf now. He's gone past the smaller, you know, Routleys of Devonport or whatever it was.
He did. He put an Instagram post up that was obviously paid for Vicks vapor rubs lately, so not so sure about that.
What's Pickers doing? Is Pickers still Buddy's
man? No, he got the ass.
Right. So then we come into Max Gawn. Yep. Now, Max Gawn
is hipsters
are taking over the world, Howard. Out in the north of Melbourne, that area, and I think that there's a perfect opportunity. There's two things that hipsters love, coffee and avocados. Now, I think Hass Avocados should be going after Maxi Gawn, and Snorkel's mate from St. Remio Coffee should be going after Coffee's Avocado. I think it's a match made in heaven for our hipster Max Gawn.
Only two things they love, Brownie?
I haven't come across the third thing that they have any sort of good thing to say about Damien. And then number five, Bailey Smith. Now, I would be saying that Mushroom Records or Sony should be going after this guy putting him in a boy band for a single. Now, girls love him, and the boys around here want to be like him, Damien. So he's got the Justin Bieber charisma, so bring out a boy band single. That would go straight to number one on the Billboard, Howard.
When's the funny stuff coming?
So the funny stuff's coming now,
Howard.
Okay. So these are some of the people in our line of work over history who have sold a product and they've done an ad.
She's a convoluted top five tonight.
Hasn't really quite hit the mark. And
okay.
The first one.
Why didn't you just do the top five bad ads?
Is the great Carlton man, Anthony Koutafidis.
You hungry? You want something to eat? I've got something for you. Here you go. What? You want a souvlaki? Well, you'll have to impress me, monkey.
So I didn't quite hit the mark, Souvlaki Hut.
I don't think you needed the preamble. I think you should have just come on worst five at Scooters at five.
Okay, well, I just thought the most Bengal players interesting.
Yeah, so
people
know.
Go away and talk
he
about it.
He wanted to tell us he met Thomas Muster.
Yeah, that was the point of where we were
I
going.
I did meet Thomas Muster.
Okay, so number four dodgy ads in AFL.
Okay, but this isn't a long time ago. This is a very recent one, and it's our man Wayne Carey.
G'day, Wayne Carey here to talk about the one thing more important than footy. Hair loss. Hair loss. Hair loss. Hair loss. Blokes can get a bit embarrassed or lazy about finding solutions for this stuff. Head to getmosh.com.au.
I don't know whether Mosh are getting their money's worth from the duck.
What about the quack?
He requested the quack to be in there too.
And that was on high rotation during Ash Barty's Wimbledon final.
Yeah,
was it? It was. I don't know for the duck by the second set.
Okay.
Number three.
Here's our man, the Wiz Warwick Capper.
G'day, I'm Warwick Capper, and I'm famous. Famous for being an AFL legend. And a few other things. But no matter what I'm doing, I always book my hotels with quickbeds.com. They're cheap and easy, just like me.
That's not bad.
At least he's honest.
That's not bad.
Hey, and then the Hawthorn days. We'll get to the Chief Routley ad in a minute, but Derm did a lot of ads, right?
Yeah.
And how the thing I noticed when I went back and watched the Tip Top ad today, I thought of you instantly because you asked for a voice deepener in at Fox,
yes.
And I'm not sure whether the Derm had a voice deepener in this one, but it certainly wasn't the Derm's voice because you watch the ad and you see Derm's voice and his lips moving, but you can't tell me this first one's Dermot Brereton.
Okay.
Everyone loves Tip Top White High Five. It's the footy bread. Now they've put oat fibre in, it tastes even delicious. Better. Watch out, kids. With all that oat fibre in it, the grown-ups are going crazy for it.
They must have been easily pleased back in the 80s.
So you reckon they've overdubbed him?
That wasn't Dermot,
that's
was it?
That wasn't Dermot, was it?
No. So then he did another one about his boots.
Come on, Dermot, get in them. They're waiting out there.
I don't know what colour to wear.
Oh, look, try the pink.
How can I wear pink with brown?
Silly Dermot, you look lovely in pink.
That was Derm.
And it was Derm. Yep. And then, like the Chief, Derm did a dating ad for The Age.
How about next week?
Sorry, Dale, it's a big one at Waverley.
Sixth?
Nah, I'm out at Windy Hill.
Sunday.
Sunday week. Swans in Canberra.
What? Do I have to make an appointment with you? Why don't you go and marry a football?
Why don't you go and marry a football? Okay, and then the great...
What was the end line?
Why don't you go and marry a football?
Oh, come on.
So then there's our great man.
Ah, yes.
Doing ads for Routleys in Devonport.
I do a lot of travelling around, but I've never seen a shop that can match Routley's. Not even in Melbourne or Sydney is there the range to choose from like you have here. You're pretty lucky, really. The very best Australian and imported clothes, and Routley's prices are the best I've seen. In fact, Routley's say that they'll match the price if you can buy cheaper anywhere else, and they mean it. That's what I like about Routley's. You know you're getting the best quality and the very best service all the time. Routley's men's department stores in Hobart and Launceston.
Brilliant ads, Chief.
Just thought you'd play the whole ad, did you?
But all these things, they no longer exist. All these companies, they don't long, no longer exist, apart from Duck, who's getting on the airwaves in a minute to talk mosh. But
yeah, look out.
Then we've got Howie. Howie, you did an ad for Bluebet that no longer exists.
Yeah.
He did an ad for Red Rooster, which is going out of business in Australia. I've got concerns about Petter's suspension, which Howie did recently.
Hi folks, Mark Howard here. Experts recognise experts. That's why for decades, the best mechanics have chosen Petters products for their customers' brakes, steering and suspension needs. Petters, the experts in undercar. No bull.
That's not me.
Matty Haywood sent it to me. All right, Duck, what do you got up there?
Hang on. That was not me.
That was you.
That was not me.
That was you.
I swear that was not me. It wasn't me, Chief.
Hey, Dingbat. Hey, Dingbat.
I've just heard
that you've bagged Mosh. Mosh are flying.
I didn't bag Mosh. I bagged you.
Flying.
We weren't having out the product, pal.
Off the back of the Mosh.
At your...
It was more you that we were concerned about in the ad.
Absolutely killing it is, Howie. And by the way, you've been on this sort of a similar product for ages, and Bungo, you should have been on it. And should
I wouldn't go there, mate.
Still get a little bit of hair there, I reckon.
Pull your skin any tighter, you won't be able to see, mate. mate your eyes are just slits in your forehead now, mate.
Don't be jealous of guys that are better looking than you.
I couldn't put a 20-cent coin in one of your eyes, mate.
Don't be jealous.
Not even as big as a coin slot.
Hey, Bungle, just because you're fat and overweight, and you get jealous of fit guys. You get fit guys. You pick up. Why does everyone pick on the fit guy?
Good one, mate.
How long the Mosh ad, how long did it take to shoot that?
Oh, it took 4 or 5 days. Good one, Howie. I get a paper cut every time I walk past you.
Come in, Eddie.
He loves that one.
He loves that one. We might get rid of Duck before him and the Chief come to toe-to-toe in the box. Well done, Nate.
The biggest names, the biggest games.
How do you like those apples?
Triple M rocks footy.
That's it. We're leading up to St Kilda versus Carlton. Nice to have the Duck just blow in and blow out and recycle his gags that he's been running with the last 6 years. St Kilda versus Carlton's the game. Damien Barrett, Daisy Thomas, Jason Dunstall, Nathan Brown.
He did lead with his tail between his legs.
He did. Doesn't like to get beaten either, does he?
I think he got him, Chief.
You reckon
he's had some work done.
Oh, do you think?
Well, I don't know. I'm just asking you.
Well, his eyebrows are nearly on top of his head. And his eyes are about the width of the old... What do you call it? You floss your teeth with, mate. Dental floss. So he's... Don't tell me he hasn't had any
old
work.
Oh, dental floss duck.
Someone's grabbed the trowel and just plastered his face as flat as they possibly could.
It's a shame he's not in here to be listening to this. Now, Chief, before we go to... Before we go to the stinger, it's been pointed out that you have become like the West Indies of the 80s. A little bit boring because you just win by the length of the straight. So we are changing.
Well, we don't have to do it.
No, we're changing a little bit. So roll the stinger.
Why didn't someone else go?
It's time to test your knowledge against footy's greatest musical mind.
Get on with it, Flav.
This is Beat the Chief.
So he's just dominated the show that much, Nath. So we're changing around a little bit tonight. Our producer says what we're going to do tonight is play the song. And Chief or the caller that we'll get to in a minute have to name as quick as possible the artist and the band. Whoever gets in first gets a crack.
Well, the artist and the band are the
same. The artist, the band, and the song. Sorry, Chief. Sorry, this is not my area. The artist.
No, shoot.
Chief's ability to swear on the radio is elite, isn't it?
He's happy with how we just let Duck go.
Yeah, I think he's happy.
Duck walked out with his shoulder slumped. I've never seen him like that.
We've got on the line, is it Habdog? Come in, Habdog.
How you going, guys? Yep, Habdog.
Good. How are you here? Where are you dialing in from, Habdog?
I'm down at my beach house at Sereno for the weekend.
Right, what's going on down there, big boy?
Pretty quiet tonight and then golf tomorrow.
Fantastic.
Who do you play golf with?
I am actually playing with my great mate, Daisy Thomas.
Oh, mate, a Daisy on the line.
Are you smelling this, Chief?
No. This is a ring in.
No.
All right, Habdog. Now, your buzzer will be Habdog. Just test it.
Habdog.
Very good. And before we go, Damo, you got some late news.
Yeah, before we should break in, just quickly. Yes. Paddy Ryder late out with an Achilles. Massive change to this game. And Hunter comes in as a result of that.
Gee, can you change your tip now?
No, too late for you, but that's a massive change.
That is big.
And Chief, your buzzer?
Chief.
So, Habdog, tonight, what we're going to do, we're going to play the songs, and you need to come in with Habdog before the Chief, and you need to name the band and the name of the song. You ready to go? Do you know anything about music, Habdog?
Oh, not much, but I'll give it my best shot, boys.
All right. Here we go. You know the new rules now, Chief?
Apparently.
All right. Song number one, roll it.
Chief.
Yes.
The Vapors turning Japanese.
Oh, Chief.
The new rules don't seem to have hurt our band.
That was very slow. That was beatable. It's just that Habdog's hopeless.
This is 80s one-hit wonders. Do you know what year it was released or not?
No, I reckon that was early, 81. Wasn't it?
Yeah. Okay, 81 it was. Okay, song number two.
Chief.
Yep. Nearly.
We're not going to take it.
Yes. By?
80s Quite Right?
No! Never happened before.
Habdog.
Habdog.
Is it
do you know the band? Hang on. Habdog, do you know the band?
Twisted Sister.
Oh! one all.
This is a first.
Ooh. This is a first. First time anyone's been even with Chief in the new format.
He's rattled.
It's like that day Winks nearly got done.
Yeah, by was the horse done with
Red excitement.
Yeah, that's it.
It was a horse. It was a horse. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Song number three.
Don't worry.
Chief.
Yes.
Bobby McFerrin. Don't
yes.
worry, be happy.
Oh, right, just establishing.
He's back.
Back to 2-1. The song number
like that song.
Four.
I know what boys like. I know
Chief.
What
yes.
I know what boys like.
Hang on, Habdog. Hang on, the Chiefs are.
Habdog.
Nah, let him
you're
go.
Out,
who'd
dude.
You go with?
He's already said it.
What'd you say?
I know what boys like, the waitresses.
Two all.
Mm.
Oh, just hang on.
Two all from five.
But if
two
he pauses with an answer, am I allowed to come in and say it?
No, you get 2 seconds and you took too long.
Okay.
In fact, he's asked for clarification on rules on this.
Two all.
I just want to know the rules.
Song number. I just start to feel a bit anxious for our man now.
Is that dog Shazamming this, mate?
I don't know. If he's one of Daisy, mate, to know what he's doing.
He's probably sending the answers, Howie. It's a miracle he's taking this long.
All right. Song number five.
Chief.
Yes.
Madness, Our House.
Oh, wow. 3-2.
Confidence.
3-2. Song number six.
Tell me why.
Chief.
Yes.
Boomtown Rats.
Yeah.
Right. Lead singer.
Bob Geldof.
Whoa, 4-2 now. 4-2. Song number seven.
Don't forget
Chief.
Yes.
Don't forget me. By Glass Tiger.
Oh, elite.
That's a good game.
I'm concerned about the delay down to Sorrento, though.
Are you still there, Habdog?
I'm still there, boys. I just can't get in quick enough for the Chief. And
no, you're all right.
He's come school. Good again. He can't lose now.
Yeah, no, well, 5-2 down, but still 3 to go. So yep. We could still go to the playoff.
But he can't lose.
Song number eight.
Chief.
Yes.
Harden My Heart.
Yep.
Quarter Flash.
He was just playing with him early.
Toyed with him.
He was just playing with him.
You need to be better, Habdog. That's horrific.
That's your biscuit.
6-2, Habdog. You hang in there. Here we go. Song number nine. Think
about you, you think Chief. About
yes.
Me. Counting the Beat, the Swingers.
Yeah.
7-2. Nice. One to go. Final song for an 8-2 flogging of old mate down in Sorrento.
Chief.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, by, I want to say, Mellow? Yellow? Hello?
Yellow. Yes, that's right for Chief. 8-2. Well done, Chiefy. Hey, Habdog. You've taken two off Chief. That's more than anyone has done in the history of the comp.
Two in the first four.
Yep.
What prize does he get, Howie? Does he get a prize?
Yep, you get a Howie Game sticker, you get a candle.
And you get to play golf with Daisy tomorrow. You're the real
golf
winner.
Golf with Daisy and
a drive with you and the Ranger.
Yeah, and in your car as well, and a nice little... maybe a Tinder date with the Chief or something
is
like that we can sort out.
Habdog's beach house or the parents' beach house?
No, his beach house.
Oh, he's going well. What's Habdog do for a
concreter.
A
concreter.
Right.
Cash.
Very nice.
Cash.
All cash.
Cash everywhere.
Cash is key. Cash
everywhere. Do you still keep in touch with your old mates from sort of drawing? Yeah, and when you became an AFL star, did you drop them?
I went to Snow with a couple of blokes I went to school with on, that was yesterday. So
right.
I should have remembered that. And playing golf with Habdog tomorrow. So still got a good, close-knit group of guys that I grew up with.
Where'd you go to the Snow days?
I went to Buller. It was pretty nice up there. A little bit windy, but that was good for a bloke who hadn't snowboarded for 16 years. I made a clown of myself a couple of times trying to get on and off the lifts, which is always a bit of a laugh on the snowboard. But I had an absolute ball, and I can genuinely barely walk today.
Chief, this COVID situation, a lot of people wouldn't realise that you're the Stephen Lee of the commentary team. You spend a lot of time often in your off-season skiing. Obviously, that can't be happening again. Are you missing the slopes?
Absolutely. It's been a couple of years now. No ski trip, so that's very, very costly. Very
you're a
annoying.
Whistler man, aren't you?
No, we mix it up. I prefer Big White. If
who's we?
I go with my brothers and nephews normally. We have a little boys trip.
Are you a snowboarder?
No, skier.
No, I was
not a
Hogan,
mate.
I was going to ask the question, how the hell do you get up off your butt when you're stacked? Because I was doing these weird little turtle flips and it was pretty embarrassing.
Anyway. If you want to find out how to do that, there's a podcast out at the moment. I was listening yesterday with a bloke called Sean White, a three-time Olympic champion. What was it? Was
Howie
the Howie Games.
That's right. That's right. Every week.
I just forgot that Sean White is the current episode.
You're a genuine knob.
Give us an update there, Damon.
As we said before, Paddy Ryder, a late out with an Achilles complaint for tonight's game. Hunter comes in and the medical subs for Carlton, Mark Murphy into game 298, wearing that vest for the second consecutive week. Cooper Sharman for the same.
points.
Now you can stream every AFL match live with Triple M Footy.
That's as good as you get.
Just download the Listener app and select Triple M.
Always nice to be joined on game night by the senior coach, this time of the St Kilda Football Club. A very popular man in football, Brett Ratten, joins us on the Friday Huddle. Mark Howard here. Brett, good evening. How are you going?
Good, Mark. How are you, buddy?
Hey, great to speak to you. I know it's a week at a time and not looking too far ahead, but the Saints are still in the mix with finals, coach. So there's a lot on the line tonight.
Yeah, there is a lot on the line, and probably just, you know, our progress as a team. I think the second half of the year, we've played some pretty decent footy, and just to keep the momentum going, we want to do that as a club. And yeah, tonight is a important game for us.
That's the interesting thing, Rats, isn't it? It's been a fascinating season. Lots of clubs have had chances to jump into the eight that haven't quite taken them. But if you turn your form around in the second half of the year the way you have, there's no reason why you can't get on a little bit of a roll. And you're playing some decent football, albeit in patches.
Yeah, true, Jase. You know, last week against the Eagles was probably that second quarter that cost us. They kicked 6-4, and that was probably the game. But you're right. We've probably got some personnel coming back into the team, which has helped, and we're starting to get a bit of confidence. And we probably reshaped the team a little bit from the first half of the year with personnel going into different positions. Hill going to halfback, and you know, Sinclair sort of started the year there, but it's been a new position for him, and he's embraced that really well.
That consistency of form has pretty much come from the mid-season break or the mid-season bye. What sort of went on in there? Was there the good old-fashioned face-to-face, heart-to-heart sort of chats, or was it just the structural things?
No, it was pretty honest. We started the process really when we before the Sydney game, when we went up there. And, you know, it's taken a little bit to come through, but I think, you know, the Sydney performance was pretty solid. They're in good form, and we probably kicked our way out of that game once again. But and then the disappointing result from Adelaide. But I think the break, just having a little bit of separation and then, you know, have a think about what we want to become as a team. And then we sort of fine-tuned it when we got back. It wasn't all around structure and it wasn't all about the hard conversation, a bit of a combination of both. But just to take a breather, I think it helped the whole group and then just to reset a little bit in the way we went.
Rats, you've rotated a lot of players through your defensive end and you've started to settle on a back six. And I've been really impressed with Cam Wilkie being a former forward myself. I watch him and I think, gee, he'd be hard to play on. Where's his ceiling? Because he seems to get better and better every week.
Well, he's pretty underrated. I think, you know, most weeks he wins that battle, regardless of who he comes up. But, you know, his ability to mark the ball as well, it's not just all about defence. And for him to come in, you know, as a mature ager, I think it just shows everybody played in South Australia for a few years and then has come in, and I don't think he's missed a game yet since he's got into the team, and he's just a model of consistency, and yeah, he's part of our leadership group, and yeah, he's really leading by example.
Rats, I did the game last week. I know we've seen glimpses of it, but we got the full package from Max King. That was extraordinary stuff, the contested marking. It just, to me, looked like all of a sudden he came out of his shell confidence-wise. Is that a glimpse of what we're going to expect on a regular basis, do you think, in coming seasons?
Yeah, he's still developing, Jase, but, you know, for a young man, I think as you're growing as a player, there's probably a moment in your career where you sort of think, I've just taken another step forward with self-belief and confidence. And, you know, even the opponents, he played really well against Harris Andrews a few weeks ago as well. So to play on some of the best fullbacks in the competition and do really well, I think it gives him a lot of confidence. But, you know, when you're 201 centimetres and you can jump like that, and you know, you're so big in the contest. But he's put a lot of hard work in. I think he's starting to get a little bit more reward. His goal kicking and his marking, he's done a power of work. And even the Thursday before that game against West Coast, we were at West Perth training, and it was just like, wow, how was his training form? It was outstanding. It's great to see him transfer that to the games, which is really pleasing.
Brett, I realise this is not a priority for you right now, but how have you observed the Alistair Clarkson situation over the last couple of weeks, and inclusive of today's developments, given your close contact you've had with him in the past?
I just think what Al's done for, you know, the Hawthorn Footy Club and what he's done in the competition has been unbelievable, you know, to really educate some of the coaches. When you look at the coaching ranks now, he's got his fingerprints nearly over on half of them. So he's been amazing, you know, an amazing contributor to the game, not just to the Hawthorn Footy Club. And, you know, whatever happens going forward, they need to, and everybody does, show him the respect he deserves, because he's been a star, and he might coach again, he might not. haven't spoke to Elle about it or anything, but I can't thank him enough for assisting me in my growth as a coach. And I think there'd be so many coaches and people out there, players as well, to sort of, really say thanks, Elle, for what he's done, because he's been a star for the game.
Rats, you've been trying to get the right mix of ball users through the middle and half back. Leo Connolly, been really impressed with the way he uses the football. Where does he sit at your football club in terms of the best kicks there?
He's in the top three. and not just because of... I think some players can use the ball and go one side and be very dominant and a beautiful kick. He can go both ways and you don't know which foot he kicks with. And he kicks it, he's got an elite kick and he can hit it flat and low. He can whack it long. But he's one that just needs to keep growing with confidence. He's got the ability. But where do you fit when you've only played 3, 4, and 5 games in AFL? You're sort of just feeling your way. And he's one that over time will just really grow into a really good user off halfback. And, it's good to see him get a game, because we knew what he was capable of at training. But just to see it in some of the games and let him shine, it's been great.
Coach, just as we let you go, true or not, that you favour Ryan Burns above all other players at the football club?
Oh, it's tight between Ronnie, we call him Ronnie Burns, and Ben Patton would be right there. It'd be neck and neck. It'd be sort of their bone crusher, our Waverley star race.
What is it about those two?
I just like the way they go about it. No fuss. They just roll their sleeves up, get going, and always up for a laugh, which is good too.
Good on you, Coach. We appreciate your time. Yep. Best of luck to you and the Saints tonight on Friday Night Footy, the big stage.
Good on you, fellas. Take care.
Nice to speak to Brett Ratton. Ream Hot Water, ask your plumber to install a Ream Steady Hot and Strong. Charlie Curnow is a big story, Damo. How long has it been since he's played top flight footy?
25 months.
Wow.
Yeah, it was David Teague's third game. In the previous two games, he'd kicked 7 and 3 goals, and the future at that stage looked pretty good for him and David Teague and Carlton. So third game into David Teague's interim capacity as coach. He went down with a knee, has not been seen since. And I'm going to have heart in mouth, Brownie, whenever I see him go near the ball tonight. I obviously hope he gets through, but there's going to be some nervous moments.
He was knocking down David Teague's door last week to play in Ed's, his brother's 200th game. Apparently Teague could not shake him for the entire week, and he was filthy he didn't get picked last week, so he's obviously ready to go.
Chief, what do you think about Ross Lyon's comments that he can't believe they're bringing him back? Why they would risk such a superstar with a few games to go, with how long he's been out of the game? Same sort of thing with Patrick Cripps. Why is he out there at the moment? What do you think of those comments?
Well, I think in particular for Curnow, and we've spoken to Teague in recent weeks, he said he's been right for a while. They've taken their time. He's had an enormous amount of time out of the game. I personally think to get some games under your belt before you go to another preseason is actually beneficial for him.
Yep.
So, and I think if you're right, you're right. Well, I mean, what's the point of cotton wooling a bloke that's been out for the best part of a couple of seasons?
He wants to get out there.
Absolutely. Let's see him get out, hopefully. And look, at some stage, you've got to come back and play.
Yeah.
So there's going to be risk involved, but they've covered off. They've ticked every box they possibly could. He's done an amazing rehab, and they reckon he is raring to go.
It's a good spine with him back in there, isn't it? When you think of Liam Jones, Jacob Wiedering, Walsh in the middle, him and Big Harry in the full forward line, that is a very good line.
Can't expect him to come back in and dominate.
A very good line.
The producer sitting there waving his hands.
Well, we're going to take a break because Val Perovic is on the line. He wants to talk to us. The big Carlton St Kilda cult hero. He will join us next.
Download the Listener app now to stream every game on Triple M Footy.
And what about that?
Just download the Listener app and select Triple M. The Friday Huddle's cult hero of the week is a man who hailed from Croatia and quickly became a VFL legend.
Up there towards Matthews and Perovic, but Perovic a fine marking defence.
He played 174 games for St Kilda and Carlton, winning 2 flags with the Blues. You know you're a cult hero when fans shout, "Woof!" every time you kick it.
Val Perovic, back into the Carlton side today.
Please welcome Big Val Perovic.
Well, when we speak of cult heroes, Chief, there is none bigger than this man who played in one of the greatest eras of Carlton, and he was my dad's hero growing up, so I know a lot about Val Perovic. Welcome to the Friday Huddle, Val, and where do we find you tonight?
At the Cavanagh Bar in downtown Darwin.
So what's happening in Darwin? I believe you've made your way to the Darwin Cup, which is a brilliant weekend.
Correct, on Monday, yes. It's a bit warmer here than downtown Ballarat. I can assure you. So it's great.
How many mates have you got up there with you for the Darwin Cup for the weekend?
Well, you wouldn't believe it. Who just walked into the pub? Peter McConnell just walked in. Unbelievable. So there you go. Got about 20 mates up here. Yeah. We do a annual pilgrimage up here. Monday will be my 35th cup, actually, guys. So there you go.
Fantastic effort, the Big Woofer. Great to have you on board, mate. Now tell me, what sort of slog will it be over the next few days?
I'll leave it to your imagination.
Do we need to leave it to the imagination, big fella? Because I actually went on your Wikipedia page just throughout the day, and it says that on one occasion, in 2-hour stint at the Cricket Club Hotel, you demolished 37 virus busters, the VB cans.
Well, it was actually 1 hour, 58 minutes, by the way.
And Val, is it right that there was actually a plaque of that performance of yours actually in the said hotel there in Clarendon Street?
Unfortunately, yes. The great man who we've lost, Wale Roberts, a beautiful man. We lost him a few years ago. It did happen at the Cricketers Arms in Clarendon Street. The great man went to the Duke of Wellington, and he took a plaque with him.
Did he?
Unfortunately, and then when the great man passed away, I thought, they'll leave me alone now. No, Peter Gimser, the mine host of the old Palmerston Hotel, who's a mine host of the Rising Sun now.
Yep.
Wale gave him the plaque, so it just kept on going. Oh, anyway. So.
Now, Val, I've got to ask you, after that performance, mate, did you walk out or were you carried out?
I spent a week at Jimmy Buckley's place. I kicked him and his lovely partner, Tom and Debbie, out of their bed for a week. Then I went home to my place in Arles, stood behind the car and free ground for another week. I was a very, very sick man for a couple of weeks. Yeah.
Hey, Val, it's a legendary era you played in, and the man you just mentioned was Jim Buckley. You had Rod Ashman, the Dominator, Alex Marcoux, Ken Sheldon, all these loose units you played with. Who was the loosest of them lot?
Probably me. But on a half serious note, I don't do very many sports and nights these days, but I always acknowledge how blessed and how lucky I was to play with the duels of the world, the Southies, Ashmans, Fitchy, whatever, McClure. Very, very privileged man. A great part of my life, I'd say. Probably 5 of the best years of my life. And I feel very privileged about that. I really do.
Yeah, 100%. It was a fantastic team. Do you pay much interest to the game as it's played today, mate?
No, I don't, Piggy, mate. I'm in semi-retirement at the moment, buddy. Obviously, the fact that I'm in Darwin at the moment, I travel around a fair bit. No, I don't. I personally don't enjoy the game as a spectacle. I really can't get myself to watch it. I really can't. And a lot of my friends are in the same boat. People who go to the footy today, and I get all that feedback from Ballarat, where I'm still living, they all say it's not the same. And I concur with them. I really do, yeah.
With the restrictions that's on the modern-day player, how do you reckon you'd go in this era?
Oh, really good question. I don't think the guys today are probably as sociable as what we were in the 80s. but I wish I was born 20 years later. They've got some pretty handy pay packers, these blokes, you know.
It's a Carlton St Kilda match tonight. You've also obviously the association with St Kilda prior to the great career at Carlton. Where's the heart go these days?
To be blatantly honest, because I finished my career at Carlton and very blessed and very honoured to play a couple of premierships, whatever, my heart's with Carlton, right? But every year I get an email from the past players at St Kilda and Carlton. I subscribe to both past players, clubs and whatever. So I have been known to go to Western Australia over New Year or whatever. Well, I catch up with Georgie Young and Russell Reynolds and whatever. So, look, as a 19-year-old kid going down from Ballarat, I'm playing with Carl Dittrich, all these black superstars, no politics, no money. It was fantastic. just a very brilliant time of my life. It was. And, like the ball, both clubs.
Hey, Wolf, you did it the reverse way around, but so many players went from Carlton to St Kilda. Why was that?
A bloke called Wes Lofts.
Yeah.
Bit of a power breaker. Bless his soul. We lost him, unfortunately. I think it was 85, 86. He said, Berwick, McConville, Jones, Sheldon, Marcus, you're out. And unfortunately, there's no comeback. So, I think eight of the guys went to St Kilda in 85, 86 and that. But,
Take me back to 1983, where you finished eighth in the Brownlow medal. But I'm having a look at the Glenn Denning, who won it, Morris Rowell, who came second. You played five games less than these guys. So 83 must have been a pretty special year personally for you.
I enjoyed 81, 82 more, but I can't recollect about 83, but I wasn't aware of that stat, actually. But you do what you do. You go to play and play for your mates, play for your club. That was a real surprise. It really was.
We appreciate you joining us on the Friday Huddle. Anything before you sign off?
No, not really. I'm here for a week, actually, so it's going to be a very, very long week. A week that I'm looking forward to, guys. So, all good.
Terrific. Stay safe.
Have a good week, Val.
Thanks for joining us on the Friday Huddle.
Pleasure, guys. Pleasure.
Oh, great to hear from Big Val Perovic. Celebrate 50 years of Macca with the Mac family. You'll get a free Macca's glass when you purchase a medium or large Mac, Junior Big Mac, or Grand Big Mac meal. Get it as part of your Friday night footy feed at Macca's, but only for a limited time. Just something I want to unpack from that particular interview. He had the courage call the chief piggy, which is something I've never done in my life. Not something I'd be that comfortable with.
Well, I laughed during it, and Chief looked at me, and I didn't laugh again, and then I looked around for support, and you blokes had your head on the ground. Why are you so scared of the Chief?
I want you to look him in the eye and call him that right now.
I've called him a lot worse.
No, just look him in the eye and say, how you going?
Oh, I can't. He's got a big cold. He's got a big cold sore. If I look that way, I might catch it.
Have you got the courage to do it, Damo?
I don't think it's
you
want
to talk cold sores.
Can
your
you call
whole
him
head's
that?
A cold sore.
Have you got the courage to call him that?
No,
or not?
I've got too much respect.
You can call me Beanham. I know Val well.
Right.
And those Carlton boys, I grew up idolising. So when I got to know them, it was a big thrill for me. I used to barrack for Carlton.
How many people in your general life call you that?
Well, he did a radio show called The Pig.
Yeah.
Pig, Jimmy and Ribboy.
Dermot does. He'd be about the only one.
Does Rappo put a pig noise in the background? Rapsy's doing
it. Is that Rapsy
humor back in the studio? Or Leroy, is it?
That's disrespectful.
Who asked for that?
Who came up with it first time? Who brought the particular moniker that I'm not prepared to say out, Chief?
Not quite sure. Probably Dermot.
Right.
But a long time ago, mate. So very, very, very few people use that. In actual fact, the first one I had was Beetle.
Beetle?
When I first got to the club.
Why Beetle?
Greeny called me Beetle because he thought I had a Beetle's haircut. Thought I looked like Paul McCartney.
With a little rat tail.
Hang on. He looks like Paul McCartney.
I'm not sure.
Are you happy with yourself back then?
Are you happy for us progressing maybe through finals that we start calling you Piggy?
he stared you down and said that.
That's disrespectful.
That is...
I just want to know if we can get it or not.
Well, as I said, very, very few people use it, Howie.
Right.
And I suggest you're not capable of being one of them.
Okay. All right, we might take a break here.
It comes down to self-preservation.
To come as we lead up to
and
St.
how far
Kilda
out of the box I could spear you tonight.
Carlton, McDonald's, Remo, Warner, Triple M, Rocks Footy.
Yeah, you're doing your own comedy.
The biggest names, the biggest games.
Shouldn't be allowed to kick the ball, Ruckman.
Triple M rocks footy.
Not long till the Saints get set to take on Carlton, 15 minutes away. We'll speak to our man Tommy Brown from Bob Jane T-Mart shortly. Get world-class deals on world-class brands. Buy three, get one free and instant cashbacks, bobjane.com.au. And we'll discuss with him from what I believe he is about to be, if he hasn't already been anointed, the chief football reporter on Channel 7.
He deserves it.
He does, and we'll get to that. But
think your mail's good there, Howie.
It's
done this week.
And we'll ask him about that. Normally, once during the season, Damo and Nath, as long stalwarts of this show, and very happy to have Daisy here and Chiefs here for the first time this year, we have a social function.
We do.
Which is always very nice. And
normally
we get
one at the start of the year, one three quarters of the way through.
That's right.
Yeah. Where I do a speech every year, and it's been a highlight.
And Das doesn't pay the appropriate amount.
Well, he left. Happens. He left $50, and it came to a lot more than that, and then decided that
that was him and Beck.
Yeah. $250 ahead, and he left $50 in total. That was extraordinary. So we're planning it again
Other
this
word,
year.
Nine is a tight ass.
We've been told that the gap between the last round and the before the final start, we are not doing a show. So we're having a little chat here that let's get our partners and organise a nice little dinner. But
it's always good to have the partners involved.
They
deserve it too.
So you'll bring your beautiful wife. I'll bring my beautiful wife. Damien will bring his.
That doesn't sound like the chat that I was witnessing anyway.
Well,
who are you bringing, Chief?
You were all in the throes of debating whether partners should come or not.
And we were 100%.
Let me just say, she wasn't a unanimous vote either.
I voted yes.
I voted yes as
I voted yes. There are some porkies being told here.
Damo voted
and the
yes.
The best part is I'm not coming anyway. So
well, Chief,
I don't care what you do.
You're part of the team, but it would be awkward, Chief Nathan Fields, if you didn't bring someone.
I think we should find someone for you.
From what I just heard about the way you spoke about your respective partners, I don't think they would want to come either.
Chief.
I mean, that was just a horrendous all-round...
It was a roast. It was a genuine
Correct.
Roast.
We can't speak for Darce because he's not here. That's a bit unfair on Darce.
No,
we can speak for Darce because he texted through and he agreed with you. No partners.
No, the partners will be there. Wives, we can't wait. But, Chief, would you... I think it would be good for the group in general and for the show moving forward if you brought someone.
Really?
Yes.
Tell you what I'll do. I'm going to go and get a couple of big knitting needles. I'm going to dip them in poison and jam them in my eyeballs. That's what I'd rather do than come to dinner with you, Flogs, and your lovely partners.
Yes, you do.
So you don't even want to come?
Christine loves you.
Erica loves you, too.
You're one of her favourites.
She thinks you're hilarious.
Well, happy to go out with them.
Well, we're coming.
No.
We're coming. She always says to me, and my beautiful wife always says, gee, I didn't realise till Jason came on the radio that he had a personality. And she really likes him as a result of that, Chief.
Okay. I've never met the person, so she's entitled to any opinion she likes.
So please bring someone.
No, I won't be.
Please.
I won't be coming.
No,
I won't be part of you all trying to square up with the lovely other halves after that disgraceful conversation that could only be described as unbecoming for gentlemen.
He's making that up now.
You were there. No, Daisy was
what
there.
What I love
Damo,
is
these how many games does Daisy just to let have to do to get in?
Can I come down? I'd like to entree serve.
No, I think you'd be a worthy
like getting into a grand final for the two.
He's the Marlon Pickett of the team.
There's a certain amount of games you have to play.
he's coming in Marlon Pickett style. Would you like to come with us for a little night?
Natasha and I would love to come in.
Right. Tell us a little bit about Natasha.
She's a Italian girl.
Right.
She might even cook for everyone if you want.
Right.
Yeah. So she's a nice person.
And where did you meet?
We normally do it at a restaurant.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's easier then.
Where did you meet?
And what does Natasha do?
Yeah, she works in public relations.
Right.
Met her through a friend three and a bit years ago now.
And where did you and Tash meet?
Through a friend. So I actually reached out on her Instagram and said, would you like to catch up?
It was a DM slide style
It was
situation.
A real slide. She put a photo of a cocktail up and I said, do you want to catch a coffee sometime?
Right.
She said, I don't know how you got some coffee to cocktail, but sure.
Right. There you go. I think Natasha comes.
Yep.
So I'm officially the only bloke who wanted to bring his missus.
Hey, that is not true.
That is correct.
That is incorrect.
I've just had a look at my diary and I'm unavailable that night.
Now we'll get you
Chief,
someone.
Do you want to come out with me?
We could do that.
Yeah, that's an option.
Is Bob Jane, Tommy Brown in the house at this stage or not? Because, Damo, the word is that after a long discussion at the Seven Network, if he hasn't already been internally announced, externally it will be announced soon in a big publicity-style launch.
Well, it's a bit like...
That he will be the main man.
Yeah, a bit like Sam Mitchell and Usley Clarkson. Clarkson couldn't hang around. Mark Stevens couldn't hang around at Channel 7.
Can I just say one thing, Damo?
And Tommy's got the job.
Well, something's happened. It's either gone that way or the completely opposite way. Because you don't turn up in the kit that he's wearing tonight unless you're either really comfortable or really pissed off.
I think he needs to get better at some of his social media. During the week, he said, this is on Twitter, Eddie Betts looks injured. He's in a right moon boot and balancing with a left walking stick. How did you figure that out, Tom?
Well, that's why he's going to get there. Where is Tommy? Is he in the building yet or not?
What was he wearing, Chief?
Well, he had the suit, but he had the shirt hanging out.
Tucked out. And sneakers.
And the big Air Jordans on. He's kidding himself. Couldn't jump over a jam tin.
No, he looked absolutely outrageous. We are leading.
He doesn't want us talking about it, though, Howie.
The
Chief Footy... reporter's job.
I got the internal email from Gary O'Keefe saying there will be an announcement.
Oh, yes.
Hang on.
When's it coming? Am I allowed to say that?
Probably not, but I'm glad you did.
One of the great blokes
I will ask you about
one of the great blokes of the industry, Gary O'Keefe.
Great head of hair.
Absolute ripper.
Oh, Gary?
Well put together, isn't he?
And you sort of gently explored this last week, Brownie, but chief football reporter at a major network, financial, how's it go?
Oh, it'd be too fitty, I think.
On, on top of?
No, I think too fitty for Tom at Channel 7 to be the chief. And Steve-O's not there anymore, so he would mop up or sponge up a bit of that.
Bob Jane T-March, I think Air Jordan himself is on the line. Hello, Tommy.
Good evening, Howie. I didn't get the Air Jordan reference because I just got back from Waverley and did a quick cross. I assume you might be referring to my white sneakers, but yeah, it's been a big day of news.
Yeah, before we get to the news, mate, congratulations from what Daisy told us, an internal email and a big press release coming that you anointed the chief football reporter at Seven. I know it's a job you've covered it for a long time now. From all of us here at the Huddle, mate, congratulations, Tommy. We're proud of you, mate. Congratulations.
I appreciate that. You're only as good as your last story, and I must admit I'm still annoyed with myself that I didn't get the Clarkson one this morning. But I had the initial handover story, but not the one this morning. But now it is nice. I assume that's official, is it, guys? I haven't seen that release.
Yep.
I've been trying to chase Clarko and Canada around all day.
No, it's official, Tommy. It was official a couple of weeks ago, but congratulations.
Yeah, no, mate, the press release is, if it hasn't come through, we might have jumped the gun a bit. But no, that's a little bit awkward. You're as good as the job, Tommy. Hey, tell us, how was it down at Waverley today? I know you're a great study of body language. You heard what was said. Now explain what happened.
It was diplomatic and it was all friendly, but it was quite staggering. Because at the end of the day, Clarko came down with Mitchell. Kennett spoke afterwards. Some of the senior players were there. James Henderson, Clarko's manager, who's, I think, engineered a lot of all this, was there. And it was an interesting mood, wasn't it? But I think there's one reason it was diplomatic today, and that was, it was called the $900,000 reason. Clarko's obviously negotiated this settlement with the Hawks, and there was nothing he was going to do today to prejudice the big deposit, the big EFT transfer into his account of $900,000. So it was all sort of friendly, but it was a staggering situation.
Do you think that happens in one transaction, Tom, or is that
I thought you might ask
a
that,
certain
Brownie.
Amount of transactions? Because that fascinates me, if it's one lump sum $900 going in.
Well, Hawthorne, to give you a football answer, can apportion that over 2 years of the soft cap, but I reckon the big $900 might just hit the Clarkson East Brighton Commonwealth account, Brownie, in one hit. Who knows? I'd only be speculating. It's a fair whack. Mm. I don't even know the tax treatment of that, but you would know that, Brownie, probably. But it is a staggering situation. They had to act all friendly today. But as Duck, I think, alluded to pre-game tonight, I mean, given Hawthorne's statements and their attack of the media and attack of Caroline Wilson's reports in recent weeks, with the greatest of respect, it's hard to believe a great deal of what they've spun recently. It's been a pretty staggering period in terms of how it all unravelled. The official view today was the catalyst was the senior players raising issues with the handover. The unofficial view tonight, which I'm sure Damo's perhaps alluded to, is that, my sources are suggesting that Clarko almost willed Kennett in the end into doing this and brought it on out of sheer frustration with the nature and the unworkability of the deal. I don't know if we'll ever get the truth. We might once see down the track, perhaps.
Just before we let you go, Tommy, if, as we've surmised that you are the main man, what else? What perks involved? Is it a different desk? Is it a corner office? Do you get an extra car park? What happens?
Well, I don't know about the perks. I know Steve-O sort of had himself in a Q5 or an A5. I've just got the Corolla rolling at the moment.
Do you get to play tennis 3 times a week like Steve-O did?
with Duck? No, there's no tennis. I think you do get some degree of roster, not priority, but you can sort of, you know, help set your own hours and just go about finding your own stories. I'm not sure if there's any perks. I'm just going to try and keep finding stories.
Is the solarium requirement as part of the handover as well?
Well, Steve-O's appearance improved over the years, didn't it? I mean, he came in good-looking and youthful, but he always had impeccable haircuts, impeccable suits, the solarium, the tennis. Maybe I've got to do more looking after of myself and less running around, but I'm not too sure what the perks are, Howie. I'm very happy to have the job, and it's got to work hard. That's the most important thing.
No, and you do, mate, and we're genuine in our congratulations. Yep.
Congratulations.
It's a fantastic reward, mate, a fantastic reward.
I'm coming down to tennis, Jay, so I'm going to get on the court and see how I go.
And always welcome.
And will you have that moniker on your super now when we see you next, Tom Brown, chief football reporter?
No, we're into results, not titles. I think they did use it in the first break tonight, not in sports. So I guess they'll use it on selective big stories or perhaps consistently. I'm not about that. I'm just trying to do a good job. And
so you're not about
hard.
That, but you noted they did use it in the first break, Tommy.
Oh, I did hear it, and I had a big sort of smile on my face as they crossed
Tommy, me. You've been building up and working toward this for 3 or 4 years, I reckon.
It's funny, though, Damo, because you see young guys come through like Mitch Cleary, and when you try and break stories and you see you know, young guys do it, and I'm just going to keep working hard. You're only as good as your last story. So I'm excited, but I'm also not worried. Just going to keep working hard.
Brownie, there's young guys coming through.
It's like footy.
Can Tommy actually play tennis?
I don't think so.
I'm not.
Let me Jason. Retract that invitation, Tommy. We'll find a different way to catch up.
He's got the right sneakers for it. Good on you, Brownie. No, we're proud of you, mate. It's in all seriousness, you work very, very hard, and you well and truly deserve the job, mate. You're a star, so congratulations, mate. Well done.
Younger generation are coming hard, Damo, aren't they, in your space?
They are, but Tom's doesn't need to worry about too many of them, I wouldn't have thought.
Wouldn't have thought so.
Shut up. The footy's on Triple M.
Triple M rocks footy.